following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Welcome once again to Strange Game Event Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino from Parts Unknown from last week.
How's everybody doing? I'm back.
And speaking of back, we also have a vixen of virtue, vixen of vice, who was here 2 weeks ago. And we have Caitlin Rose Poteet in the studio.
How you doing?
So Hassan Godwin is pulling a Charlie, so he's supposed to be here. I'm guessing he's running late.
He probably got that same spaceship that took me yesterday, last week, on the way here.
So hopefully he'll be here shortly. That's the plan.
Could I say one thing, though?
You can.
I'd just like to wish very good luck on their new house to Frank, Gina, and my little poofadella, Angelina, and... You know, I love their new house, and I wish them a lot of luck and many years of happiness in there. And Gina, keep Angelina vacuuming those rugs, okay?
Is that code?
What?
Is that code?
Oh, no, it's not code. I went there today to see them, and Angelina has that toy vacuum, and she's going crazy on the rugs. Right. I'm saying, if Gina put the real vacuum there, no problem. She has those rugs taken care of.
All right.
Okay.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air... I can go online to www.am1240wgbb and listen to us on our online live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see us on the webcam, which is on right now in a high definition. And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811.
What was those first three numbers?
888-8811. I've also been told that if you happen to have a smartphone, you can hear us on your smartphone for the radio show. So right now you can go onto your smartphones. If you don't want to be bothered with a computer, you just go to your smartphone, which is a computer in itself.
I love technology.
Yes.
I don't know about that. It's not my best friend right now.
Caitlin has a wonderful little phone. It just goes droid.
Droid.
Droid, right?
I wonder what type of phone that is.
I think it's an iPhone.
So I'm going to take it away with the news.
Take it away with the news.
Let's see. From the Shameless Department. As we've been shameless for the past 4 or 5 months by now. Red Anvil's War of the Independence, issue number 2, is out in stores as of last week. War of the Independence is a 6-issue full-color crossover series bringing independent creators together from all spectrums of comics by writer-artist Dave Ryan, bringing together such characters as Ant, the Max, Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby and Pokey, Phaser, and a little character that my girl is also involved in this. And if you want to see more of my character, because in the series she's only sweeping up after Pokey's Pokey, you can go check out RCG Comics' War of the Independence trading card set. I have my own little card. And that's a perfect companion to the series.
We're quite proud of your character, Mark.
Yeah, actually, when she sees print, see what she actually does.
It's like,
kind of cool.
When I see your character, I say, yeah, I sit next to the guy who created that character every week. There you go.
Most every week, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of RZG Comics,
Mr. Sig,
their flagship character Phaser will be teaming up with my character also this March. So that's next month, a couple of weeks away. To celebrate this event, RZG Comics is now selling limited edition Phaser crossover posters featuring my character.
He better keep his hands to himself.
It's signed by legendary comic book artist Jim Steranko. When ordering, make sure you mention that you heard it through It Came From Radio, so you can get the special deal that they're offering. And speaking of, that's a good one. Speaking of comic book creators.
Mr. Segway.
From the Sad But True Department, creator of Ghost Rider, Gary Friedrich, has just lost a suit for monies made off of the original Ghost Rider movie. Of course, this is not news in and of itself because tons of creators has fallen to the work-for-hire defense. But in this case, the judge has ordered him to not only stop saying that he created Ghost Rider, but also was ordered to pay Marvel $17,000 in damages for Ghost Rider prints that he sold at conventions. And this man happens to be a 68-year-old comic book artist.
I'm just going to state the obvious. And just come in whenever you want, guys. This money is going to make these people richer than dirt. Richer than dirt.
Right.
And they're picking on this poor guy. Is that what I'm getting out of this?
Yeah. That's what you're getting out of this.
Because they can.
Yeah. What a country.
That sums it up.
Yeah, because they can.
But it's not more than just that they can. I mean, if this sets a legal precedent, and speaking of legal precedent, here comes Hassan.
Don't tell everybody.
Well, they could see it on the webcam.
Just walk in and
they could see
nobody
it.
Is watching on that webcam.
Nobody.
Really?
Yeah, don't worry about it. You ruined the surprise. That's all you accomplished here.
I ruined
Please
it.
Please continue.
All right. I was mentioning how the creator of Ghost Rider has been ordered to stop saying
to
that
stop
he's creator, saying that he's no that he
oh,
is
sorry.
Not allowed to say that he's the creator of Ghost Rider anymore, and he has to pay Marvel or DC Disney now $17,000 for damages for selling Ghost Rider merchandise at conventions. And what I was alluding to was that
does he have proof that he's the creator?
Actually,
rude.
What?
Rude.
I do
not
know.
It refuses to turn off.
If this
off.
Was a movie theater, it'd be throwing popcorn at you right now.
It refuses to turn off. That's it. Has its own opinion.
Rude. Right? That's all I say. Rude. I have no compassion.
Actually, as normally we have a no follow up question, but this I do have the answer to.
Yes.
This.
Does he have proof
on the book of the first appearance of Ghost Rider on the credits? And it had a little credit area, you know, written and directed by.
Right.
It says. Conceived and illustrated by, and it has the guy's name. But he lost the suit. So
how does he lose the suit?
Because it was work for hire. And then you know it's the old work for hire defense. Back in the old days,
that shouldn't work. If he had a good lawyer, he could say, "Look, if they put it in print that he conceived and produced it, then he at least has precedence there
the
in being able."
The other guy had a better lawyer.
That's what happened with it.
You're going up against Disney, first of all, and secondly. It's actually a two-pronged defense. The first part is that Marvel is saying that the name Ghost Rider and where that character came from with the Flaming Skull was originally from a different book. But wait, there's more.
I was acquiescing.
It was
backing off.
An original book where was called a cowboy called the Ghost Rider, who happened to be the same creator of that book also.
So here's what you do. This is what you do. In a situation like this, you go into the courthouse or whatever, and a lawyer starts reading off reasons why you're wrong, even though you know you're right, and then you shoot the judge.
Is that the plan?
That'll work.
I'll explain. The crime is so heinous that when they try you for murder, it's just going to bypass the other thing, and you actually end up getting ownership. It just overshadows the original suit, and then they give it to you by default. That's how it works. You go to jail for the rest of your life, but you are the owner of Ghost Rider. You gotta be dedicated, man.
But the second defense is
labor
that
of love.
It is. You gotta show that moxie, or you're not gonna get what you deserve in this life.
From what I understand, way back in the old days when they made these.
When is the old days exactly?
I'm guessing.
I was there.
Yeah, he was there.
I don't think so. No. That was before they colored the earth. Usually. When you watch
white,
on Channel 13, the old days are always in black and white, and it's always grainy. Life was very grainy then.
Nobody had Panaflex.
No.
It seemed that whenever a creator was getting paid from Marvel at the time, on the back of the check that they had to sign,
you don't own nothing. That's what it says.
By signing this check, you give away your rights, so that way they get their money.
Oh.
So right there. He signed away his rights, so he doesn't own it.
All right, so then he didn't bother to read the fine print, and then he loses.
But he has to pay $17,000 back to Disney. This is what's bothering me.
Well, can't he keep some of it due to the fact that he had a part in... I mean, those posters wouldn't exist without him.
That's the point, but copyright laws is he doesn't own...
That's insane.
That's insane.
That's why you don't work for those monstrosities.
Yeah,
you slug along until someone notices you for your own grace, and everything belongs to you at least at that point. It's a sacrifice, but if you do blow up, everything you have belongs to you, as opposed to everything you have belongs to some guy named Schmed who lives in the Mediterranean somewhere, who owns all of your work and doesn't even speak English. What? That means he owns everything you
yes.
have.
That's the translation.
Yes.
That's Lithuanian for I win.
Yeah.
But just, I know you got other stuff and we got to get to other things. Wasn't the first movie, didn't they
suck?
Say,
yes.
Regardless, didn't they say that the first Ghost Rider was a cowboy?
The first Ghost Rider was a
yes.
cowboy.
Yes, it was Scott Glenn. Who was it?
Sam Elliott
was the first.
Sam Elliott or what's
and
the
then,
guy I'm
And he was there and he was supposed to come and help him.
I don't know.
And he
yeah,
just he, didn't.
Yeah.
He just left.
Just lied together.
I'm riding. There it is.
Yeah,
I gotta go.
I didn't tell you I was going to help you. Just telling you I'm your GPS. I'm your friendly neighborhood GPS.
It's like, yeah, oh my God, what's in there? I gotta go.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was going to be.
He got Italian.
Yeah.
You give him the Pekinese.
I didn't know there was going to be bad guys here. Yeah. I thought we were going to
the ride.
I thought we were going to Popeye's Chicken. That's what I thought we were.
Wasn't there a saloon there before? I gotta go. All right.
So speaking of stuff blowing up,
Mr. Segway.
Unless John Cusack and the Mayans are wrong.
Oh, not this again.
Oh,
Transformers.
God.
Four.
Yeah, I already heard about this. You will fail to outrage me with this.
On June 29th, 2014. And despite the fact that he said vehemently that he will not be in he will not be in. He said it with girth and in vi and, you know.
Vigor.
Vigor.
And vim. Yes.
We have a story about Vietnam.
Is it the Transformers in Vietnam? Now, that'd be interesting. Now that's a movie we could sell.
He said that he will not be involved in this movie.
Who's he?
Director Michael Bay comes back.
Michael Deathlock.
And then they were we'll give you more money. And he was like,
why doesn't one of his trucks just accidentally fall on him? You know?
Because they're
just
not
give him
real.
A concussion.
Yeah. CGI.
Just to give him a concussion so he can forget that he's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know?
He
just
is.
That's all I want. He's not a filmmaker. he's a guy who records stuff.
He's like, what do I do? You make Slurpees
yeah.
for 7 months.
You know, go get busy.
Go get, yeah.
Everybody's hot and thirsty.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what Victoria's Secret model they're going to use this time.
What about Shia LaBeouf? Is he not going to be in it?
As of right now, he has no cast is
signed. He should stay the
this
heck away
promising.
From that.
But, you know.
I was so looking forward to somebody else maybe direct. I knew there was going to be a fourth one.
Well,
but I was just looking.
Amount of money.
Yeah, I was so looking forward to someone else being the director.
Like
so I could actually enjoy it.
Right, now, wouldn't it be great if they put in the script that Bumblebee accidentally runs over him?
Yeah, but it won't.
Yeah, he'll get away.
He'll be in the Bay Buster.
He was in the jet. It crashed, and he was still.
He blithely walked away from that explosion.
Anyway, we stray. Go ahead.
Heck with him, man. Stop. Why doesn't anybody put a stop to it?
Because
we get to lose Whitney Houston, but Michael Bay is just chugging along making movies. That's fantastic.
As I alluded to many weeks ago.
Don't allude. That's the problem. You should just say.
Michael Bay, despite everything, must be doing something right in order to be making this amount of money.
No, he's not making anything right. You're mistaken.
He was paid
to
bring people to the theater and make a big bag of money.
It's
not him.
It's not him. It's the lore of the Transformers. It's the special effects. That's strictly what the kids, and that's only kids that are going to see the film. Like your idiot friend when we went to see the third one, and he said, it's fantastic, and you almost hit him with your shoe. I've never seen you angry before. You almost hit a kid in the head with your shoe because he liked a movie that you thought was terrible. All right? That's how far you were willing to go. That's the difference. That's the cutoff. Mature, intelligent people, dumb kids. And what do mature, intelligent people want to do when a dumb kid says something terrible was good? You want to hit him with the back of your shoe. That's the dynamic we're working with, and that's why it's so powerful. That's why the passion that you had to hit him with the shoe is why those movies are doing good.
All right, then.
Because he made The Island, and no one cared. Nobody went to see it.
That's very true.
His career was on the skids. He was not making any money. He was negotiating to make Bad Boys 3, which was a semi big hit for him. when Spielberg dropped the Transformers on him. And he protested. He didn't want to do it. If you listen to the commentary, which unfortunately I did, I'll explain that. But okay. Anyway, so he because you know what? When someone pisses me off, I, for some reason, have to have the fuel to hate them. It has to be continuous. And by hearing him talk with his disembodied voice talking over this master crap piece that of his work that you're watching, it's hate machine fuel for ages.
Eons.
So yes, so that I managed to stop myself from buying the third one. Because I bought the other two. There's no way to explain it.
Why?
There's no way to explain it. We must just move on. Anyway, but if you hear him speak, he didn't even want to do it. And he thought it was a joke. He thought the whole thing was a joke. In fact, he thought, oh, I'm making a kid's movie, so I guess I'm a kid's movie director now. And he went to the movie theater for the preview, and the crowds went nuts because they were actually seeing real-life trucks and cars turn into robots. Really, that was all it is. And he considered himself a genius. Yeah. Which, you know, it turned the hate rung up yet another notch.
I could see the kid movie he was making when that camera was panning right up Megan Fox's butt.
Yeah,
like yeah,
she was
wow.
On the motorcycle.
He had to throw something in for the fathers of
there
the kids
go,
that
kids.
Were there.
I heard from
and the mothers who were who play on the side.
I heard from one of my fellow Vixen actresses that the audition reel for her part was her washing a car in a bikini for Michael Bay, basically.
Oh, man.
Which I would not dismiss.
That's awesome. That's the way, that's professional.
That's pretty much
that's the way you run your business.
I want to be a movie director.
Go ahead, Mark. I bet you you'll be just as good as Michael Bay. I bet you will be. Good luck, buddy. You don't need training. All you need is, a digital camera and some glossy special effects and hot chicks. You too can be Michael Bay.
Was the audition reel in the DVD?
If it was, I never watched it.
All right.
That's not because I have anything against Megan Fox. It's just that his entire Michael Bayness was so offensive to me that I think I could only watch the DVD once, and then I had to go up on the shelf.
What's next?
All right.
Because he bayed all over it.
Because
we're going to have to get him value.
Yeah, please, move on.
Here's some happy news. Happy news.
Ah, happy. No one died.
In conjunction with BBC Worldwide and CBS, IDW Publishing.
Now, how many initials are in this? how many anagrams do we have?
They will make history when two of the greatest science fiction properties of all time come together in a comic book for the first time ever. Releasing Star Trek Next Generation, crossing over with Doctor Who. The comic will feature the Borg and the Cybermen as they create an unholy alliance, resulting in a potential disaster for all humanity.
That sounds
of course.
Amazing. Mm.
So well, what else would they get together for?
Why did they only want to destroy humanity? Aren't there billions of other planets out there? To destroy humanity, you got to nuke one planet. It's over. How come no one can do that?
Because Doctor Who is there.
There's
Captain Kirk.
He's a Time Lord.
Didn't stop the Death Star from nuking Alderaan.
But they didn't nuke planet Earth.
Because they didn't know where it was. All they had to do was figure out where it was. They could have put a stop to all this. Well, technically, Earth didn't exist then. It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Far, far away.
Executives say.
Oh, no. Not the suits.
We are excited about this new adventure for the Doctor.
Of course
and
you are.
And he will be traveling with Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
We don't think this product's going to be any good at all, but we're still going to push it.
This is a perfect partnership for not only Doctor Who's incredible fans, but also for
the
brand.
Fans are incredible now.
By joining these two sci-fi powerhouses, fans will be taken on the ultimate adventure through
time. It's a comic book.
And space.
They're going to make a movie that would have been something. That's a comic book. That would be interesting. It'll be interesting, but the guy's overplaying it. It'll be good, yeah. But the guy's overdoing it.
If you read between the lines, it really just says money, 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 yeah. Money.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. See, nobody was fooled for a second. Yes. You know what? When you over it, when you have so many superlatives in one sentence, you're probably lying. Yes. It's just the most magnificent thing that any greatness could ever possibly stupendously do. You know, you're full of crap. It's over. And you said the word executive. So right away, most of us stopped listening.
The first issue of the 8-part story will be available in stores in May of 2012.
Heck yeah.
I'm not getting it.
All right. Speaking of something else you're not going to get.
Mr. Segway.
Nothing I'm going to get.
Authorities have discovered white cobwebs on nuclear waste at the Savannah River National Laboratory in South Carolina.
Could you imagine the size of that spider?
Oh boy.
Does whatever a spider can.
The Defense Nuclear Facilities The Defense Nuclear Facilities Safety Board says, and I quote,
"Holy crap, the spider's in here."
And they're white.
While he was running away.
Did you see the saw? Yeah. That's what he said.
Perhaps he was dictating.
The growth, which resembles a spider web, has yet to be categorized, but may be biological in nature. Any living creature inside the pools of quote-unquote safety water has been exposed to nuclear fuel could have evolved into a new species. It turns out that there already is a bacteria so resistant to radioactivity that has been re-engineered in the treatment of radioactive waste.
Maybe that's why all those dolphins wound up dead on the shore last week.
There were dolphins
dead? Yeah, there was a lot. That scares me.
That's
and
not
it was,
good.
And it was a little article
that ain't
which
good.
Scares the living
bad.
Because I'm like,
dolphins are pretty smart.
Like,
so anything bad, they're gonna go. Hmm, we're gonna go the other way.
Why did that happen? You know.
So So whatever bad news dolphins ran into headlong without knowing it, that's gonna get us.
I think
even
they should
quicker.
Check for that white spider web out there in the ocean.
Didn't you mention that there was? You brought another news article about another
with
type of
fish washing up. Yeah.
See, maybe those mines and John Cusack are right after.
Nobody said. You know, the thing I dispute is that John Cusack has nothing to do with it.
No,
he just made a movie.
He's attached to the
he made
now.
Money off of it.
He's attached.
That's
to the
all he
now.
Did.
All right, move on.
Don't blame John Cusack for the end of the world. For goodness sake, he's got enough problems being John Cusack.
So with 317 days left. We're going to go for the sad news. If I can find it. I lost it. Oh, here it is.
Oh, too bad.
Veteran comic book artist John Severin, best known for his over 60 years career working on such books as Two-Fisted Tales, Frontline Combat, Incredible Hulk, Sergeant Fury and His Howling Commandos, and a much-publicized 2003 Rawhide Kid miniseries, which depicted the Marvel Cowboy as being gay, he passed away. He was also one of the five cartoonists who founded Mad Magazine in 1952 and was a mainstay at Cracked Magazine for many years. He was 90.
Whoa.
Oh.
Ten years.
10 years.
10 years, and he could have got a letter.
Letter from the president. See, that's what it's all about.
All right.
So we're ready to take our break.
We're going
to
take a break.
We'll be right back with Came From the Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Hey, we are back with Becoming Infinite Radio. Hey. This is your host, Mara Torres, speaking.
Hello, Mara Torres.
Saladino.
Hi, Charlie Saladino. Hi, Son.
And a vixen of virtue.
Hello, vixen.
Advice,
hello.
Caitlin Rose. Rose? Ross.
Ross.
Caitlin Ross.
How would it be Rose?
Rose? You don't even know how many weird pronunciations and
I know.
Spellings.
Try having a name Godwin and see how many people screw that up.
Yeah.
It's Goodwin. It's like there's one O.
Yeah.
Just read it. Just read it.
The other O is silent.
The other O is silent. Yeah. And N is not there.
Yeah.
On top of being silent.
So the music you guys just listened to was by happenstance from the Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Ice, Season 2.
How could that
Rise
be?
Of Sherlin, which is now available in Amazon.com.
Amazon, yes.
It's done by Keith Jacks for Third Rail Productions.
Not Jackson.
Keith Jacks.
Keith Jacks.
Which
he was a guest on the show.
Yes,
also.
He was here.
Yeah, that's www.t-r-p.net.
Well done.
So, Caitlin.
Yes.
What brings you back for a third time to our show?
Besides your car.
Well, I was invited. And always happy to be here.
Cause, usually why I go places.
I love well, you know, sometimes you can crash.
Come and I show up.
Yeah. But,
in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I've been working on my own script, actually, that's kind of sci-fi-ish, so I wanted to talk a little bit about that.
So,
what's
it all about? Is it about giant robots?
It's no Vietnam, no robots, no.
Or Michael Bay.
the plot is basically, I usually make things long-winded, so I'm going to try
elevator
not
pitch.
To.
You got to do the elevator pitch.
First floor.
It's about a girl who's in her mid-20s, and she comes from a very affluent background. And she has social anxiety, and her parents, because of their status, they've kind of hid her away and told everyone that she was just autistic. And so she hasn't done much with her life because she's afraid of getting out. And to deal with this, she smokes a lot of an illicit substance that is green. And so finally her family, who's been supporting her all this time, gives her an ultimatum and says, you are going to lose our support financially and, you know, just in terms of a relationship if you don't go to work with your father at his firm. So she is really anxious about this, and her dealer, who's also her friend, gives her this special weed to calm her down.
Special weed. And isn't
all special? Isn't it though?
We had that in the 60s.
It costs enough. Yeah. That's what all the dealers will tell you. This is the special stuff.
This is the good stuff.
Yeah.
So she goes to work that day and with the special weed. And she starts realizing that half the people in the building are like these zombified creatures that are kind of decaying and falling apart.
Ooh.
And so she freaks out and runs.
So.
Yes, rightfully
that
so.
That's good weed.
Yeah. We call that a bad trip where I come from.
That's what she thinks. So she gets in contact with her friend, the dealer, and it turns out that he is what's called a soul giver. And basically, he gives people souls when they're born, but there are also soul stealers who are evil people who have decayed and have lived on the earth for a long time and whose souls are rotten.
Souls.
Yes, and a lot of these people happen to work in the business industry. And
speaking of executives.
Yes.
Those executives we were talking about.
And Michael Bay.
Yes.
It's a soul stealer. He stole my soul. I saw that third one. I'm sorry.
He's not even the relevant. it turns out this dealer has seen her and thinks that she has a good soul, and so he gives her this weed to basically give her the mission of identifying people whose souls are weakening and decaying and trying to bring them back and become better people again and to defeat the soul stealers. And it's this whole journey of, you know, her being able to finally be personable and reach out to people, but it's also her journey of, you know, finding what she wants to do in life instead of what her family wants her to do. And it's also got zombified weirdos. So
okay,
so it's a lighthearted comedy then.
It is. Yeah, it's kind of comedic actually.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So it's like tongue in cheek.
I have a question. Where did you come up with that? Holy!
She had some weed one day.
Yeah. Well, without being too explicit about the substance that you used to get to there.
This is special. don't make any mistakes about this. We all do that. Who write scripts or write anything?
No. Not all of us, but we respect it. We're not against.
Oh no! I'm not saying do the weed thing, but go out there for our.
I just want to know where she went to get that one.
And when is she coming back?
Yeah, because that's
I don't know. I mean, I'd
watch that at home going, I don't know where they came up with this. Yes. One, but I can't. I have to see what happens next. I have to see how this ends.
I guess it actually, I mean, I have a lot of inspiration from a lot of different sources. One show that I really liked that was canceled after two seasons was Dead Like Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of, you know, she was a grim reaper, and she had been doing nothing with her life, and she thought she would finally get to relax in death, and didn't.
Yeah.
And had to deal
and
with
totally was
then.
Not allowed to. Yes. I remember that show well.
Yeah, yeah. So that was part of the inspiration, and, you know, part of my family is rich, and I've been encouraged to have a certain sort of lifestyle, and you see people working really, really hard and getting burnt out really quickly, and how it does kind of change them a little bit, and you want to go just go to the beach, just take a break from work and chill out.
And you are into science fiction.
Yeah, I love science fiction.
So there you go.
So you grew up on Doctor Who then?
I actually didn't grow up on it, but it's something that's developed. My family really wasn't into science fiction at all. It's something that I just picked up in like my early teenage years and have been into it ever since and have been trying to find more stuff. I have a lot of things to catch up on, I feel like. But, you know, now that Netflix is big, no. I have a lot of resources
there. You'll be a full-fledged geek in no time with Netflix.
Yes, definitely.
So how do you go from being an actress, model, and singer to being a writer?
Well, writing is actually something that predated my interest in the performing arts. It was like I joined a writing club when I was in first grade that the school had and really had a passion for it. And it's something that I've never really committed to, but it's always just something that I've kind of done in my free time. And I'm also a philosophy student, so you have to be able to put together a good thought process and really be able to explain a concept to people. And so that's, I feel like a lot of science fiction is actually layered and has a lot of philosophy in it. So that's a big part of my inspiration as well.
So how do you manage to juggle all these different hats?
I don't know. I'm pretty lucky right now. I feel like I'm really lucky. I get to do the freelance modeling thing and make my own schedule, and it's just a great situation because I don't feel like I'm overworked right now.
So,
No, I was going to say, talking about the modeling, what was that? There is a website. And I don't know what it was, and it's a bunch of you girls, and I don't know if this is a science fiction project or anything. It was, you were dressed up like a stormtrooper, and you had a bunch of girls.
Oh, I gotta promote this. That, I think what you're referring to is Looking Glass Girls?
Yes, that's
yes,
it.
It's, the photographer is Melissa Brennan, and it's basically, her inspiration comes from fairy tales, and I think she's somewhat into sci-fi, and she really just has these very whimsical images in her mind, and it started off being based off of Alice in Wonderland, predominantly, and now she's gone into a lot of things, and the photo shoot that you saw was based off of Sucker Punch.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a lot of fun, and she picks a lot of awesome girls.
It looked great.
Yeah.
And what website can we see that image on?
That's at lookingglassgirls.com. You can see all these images. Yeah.
So, as a model and actress, when you go to shoots, as you had mentioned earlier about the was it the casting reel for Megan Fox?
Yeah.
Does that thing happen more often than not, or is that the exception?
I mean, I don't know personally, but I can say that for modeling, it's a little vapid sometimes, as you can imagine, because it's, you know, it's not even acting. It's not like you have lines to say. You're literally just something to be looked at in front of the camera. So, yeah, I mean, castings really don't have to do that much with personality.
It's like being a photographer. It's like, or was a photographer. I don't do it anymore. But basically, we are visual artists. We don't paint. Mm-hmm. We see the picture we want, and we take it. And when you have a model like Caitlin, who is absolutely stunning, it's like she is the artwork. She is the masterpiece that you're putting on there. And a lot of her pictures show that.
Thank you so much. It's actually excellent.
So, since you're into science fiction, and mm-hmm. you're a model and an actress...
And a writer now.
And a writer now.
Well, yeah. Writer, what are you first? Doing here with us?
what the hell is that question.
Oh, well, I don't know. That's the kind of question that always kind of puts me off a little bit, because I feel like I've actually met so many models, and I don't know if it's because I'm freelance and not with an agency, and most of the girls I've met aren't really fashion-based and uptight about it. They're really very creative people and really looking to make good images as well.
Right.
So most of the girls I've met are really somehow involved in art as well, or really into self-expression, have their own creative ideas. So I don't know. I mean, I was actually very self-conscious about my looks for a long time, and, you know, went through the whole thing of getting made fun of like crazy in middle school. So
I'm just saying this now. I've seen the pictures. You shouldn't be.
Thank you.
Okay, there you go.
You've seen her high school pictures?
Yes, yeah, I was our high school teacher.
Stalker.
No, the stuff that's on our website, you psycho.
It came from the radio. It's not condoning the extracurricular activities of Charlie Saladino.
The last time, actually the time before, the other vixens were here, mm-hmm. I asked them a question about what do they think about how women were portrayed in the olden days mm-hmm. to now.
When exactly were the olden days?
I'm going to tell you.
There
the
are this
days.
Brief shining moments.
Yeah. I'm saying all the way from, we're talking science fiction, we'll go, talking from the 30s up until present.
That's the olden days.
Including yesterday was one of the olden days.
Wasn't there in the 30s, but I've seen a lot of movies from the 30s.
Okay, fair enough.
So what is your opinion on how women are portrayed throughout the years? And has there been any difference?
Bad.
Well, no, I mean, it's weird. I mean, there are a few things I can think of that were, you know, totally kind of embarrassing for womanhood back in the 30s. Like, the original comic books, the characters that were female were very much accessories and, you know, strictly femme fatales, I feel like. But then you also have shows like Twilight Zone, where the female characters, a lot of them, were intrinsic to the integrity of the story. And I feel like I almost feel like female characters in older movies and TV shows were kind of more interesting. They were just, they had personality, if anything. And, of course, they were pretty and had the whole housewife look, but I feel like they were still a vessel for a message. And I feel like the 90s was a good time for women in sci-fi. There were a lot of underground comic books, and there was the whole Kevin Smith craze, and there was Buffy and that whole thing. But I feel like lately it's been kind of dismal for women. They're really just kind of models who are there when the guy is beating somebody up, which is sad, because I feel like you can do a lot with women in these roles.
Well, you're absolutely right, because it's a shame that they're coming back to that, because mm-hmm. like when we talk about the 30s and stuff, if you watched a lot of B movies that I've watched, and I know you haven't because you're not as old as me, it is amazing the way women are portrayed They are helpless. The guy is there to save them. In every movie, every monster movie, there is a monster carrying a woman.
Yes.
Because, as we know, women can't see a monster without bathing.
Yes.
And right now, if a monster walked in that door, I don't know how good I would do. But,
I agree with the conventional idea of that. But a lot of movies I've seen, even though I think in action wise, the woman is always usually marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
She's no help with the actual resolution of whatever the problem is.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, just by virtue of mechanism, a lot of times a lot of the women in, like say Wolfman, some of those other movies that's not from the 30s, but you know, more are used as exposition. So it's usually the woman has got the intellect to help whatever the problem the man is dealing with. Of course, he is the pinnacle, you know, character in the story, and he is the end all be all reckoner. Yeah, the reckoner. He's gonna fix everything, but he still needs the woman to help him work his brain so he can figure out what the problem is. Which is so in a sense, action wise, you know, we got into the 90s or whatever, we started getting Xena and a lot and Buffy and a lot of these other characters where they actually were the muscle, but they were for a very long time were the intellect of it. It's not good enough, it's not well rounded, it's not fulfilling. I can understand that, but I've seen very few movies where the woman was so stereotypically useless. Because usually my attitude was like, okay, get rid of her, you know, she's dragging you down, you know, and there are very few movies, they usually can't be that way, because there'd be no purpose for her to be there other than eye candy, and you couldn't do a lot of eye candy in the 60s, like in the 50s and the 60s, so it's kind of where Hollywood is always bucking against the trend of the conventional wisdom. Like, it's always kind of got this liberal slant on it, where the Indians are always right, and the Africans are always right, you know, against the, you know, but even though the times were not reflecting those things.
Right.
So, in a strange way, women were always, like, the smart aspect of all of these, especially in science fiction.
Yeah.
Except for The Thing, where the girl was the cook.
Yeah. But they had a movie in the 30s called The Corpse Vanishes with Bela Lugosi.
What happens in it?
Does the corpse vanish? They just keep disappearing.
Where did it go?
I wish the director vanished, but the woman is portrayed, she's a reporter, which I thought for the 30s, a woman with a job, a very substantial job. Absolutely. Other than waiting for the husband to come home and having the drink ready and everything and the food on the table. She was a reporter. And that went just so far because she nailed the story until the end when the guy had to come and save her.
Yeah, because the guy always has to be the resolver.
Exactly. So you get something like this, and then we move way up to Aliens with Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Or Terminator with Sarah.
Right.
And that's where I think that's the whole where we came around. Now we're going back to
feels that way. I mean, I even feel like you look at a lot of the stuff that Rod Serling had to do with back in the 60s, like Planet of the Apes, a woman was the brain and also helped in some of the adventure parts of it. And you kind of kept building upon that until like around 2000, and then you start seeing all this like kind of jailbait in the media, like Britney Spears was huge and Christina Aguilera and the belly buttons, and it, not that, you know, there's anything necessarily wrong with it, but it becomes this thing where it's like you have to keep building upon how sexualized a female character can be, where that becomes the basic function for money making in these movies, and you're like, well, why would we give her a substantial role when we can just give the guy the hero role and give the girl like the eye candy role and, okay, give her a motorcycle so she's, like, a tough chick.
Yeah. Right. It's like, or make her a mechanic. Right. Like, yeah. Like in Transformers.
Case,
you know?
Case in
really
point.
Hot mechanic.
What was that,
that
movie?
Never.
Pam Anderson was in Livewire or something like that.
Barbed Wire.
Something like that.
Oh,
where,
wow.
Oh, my God. Where, yeah, she...
Talk about a bad
I don't
movie.
Know how she fired the gun. How she had the intelligence to fire the gun.
Yeah, and her big thing about that is that she was tougher than most modern day action heroes because she was wearing a corset, which is very painful. And that was her take on it.
I can attest to that.
I'm not disputing that whatsoever. I've never worn a corset, thankfully.
Really?
But I'm not disputing that, but that's not the
that's
virtue
not
of the character.
Yeah.
That's not like, okay, I can shoot wearing a corset, so I'm better than Bruce Willis.
Right, and I feel like I liked the first Underworld, but that's where that character has gone, is look at me, shoot things in a cat suit.
Especially that last one, yeah. Absolutely.
And then
even as like a guy, it's like it's just a sleazeball, like, you know, just like narrow-minded guy. Even I was like, all right, this is getting boring.
Well, like we said, she had to take the time when she was naked to put the whole outfit on before she
it's
did
not
do
even
anything.
It's not even the sexuality. Like there's a fetish of just tough women. It doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily have to do with her being naked or looking hot, but like some woman going around smacking guys around and shooting people. That in and of itself is a sexual fetish. And even that was in this particular That's film was being done to such an extent that it was not having an effect anymore. And not to say that that's what I went there for, but that was one of the virtues of that franchise that they were trying to push, because they keep emphasizing her leather outfit and her boots and her guns.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's like, okay, we got to use our brain to solve one of these problems.
Because
you haven't reloaded since frame one, you know? So I don't understand how this is working.
Well, then you have, to answer that, you have Angelina with Laura Croft. That was a strong,
that's true. But that was the purpose of that movie.
Yeah.
Was just that she has boobs and she's got guns. So that movie fulfilled its own purpose because it gave you what it promised.
She also had intelligence and she was a girl of independent means.
No. Yes, I agree with you, but if you put that next to Salt, okay, which is another Angelina Jolie movie, where she's dressed through the whole film, and 90% of the time she's using her mind to get herself in and out of these particular stuff that they'd have caught me. They'd have caught me, or they'd have shot me, or I'd have fallen off the building, or whatever. Half the stuff she's doing, that's a different, at least for me, that's a completely different, you know, a ball of wax. You know, that's like, okay, and you forget, you know, as ridiculous as to say, you forget she's a woman. You know, you forget the emphasis of it, that she's a woman. You're just watching someone work
which proves how good that... I like Salt. I thought it was a great movie. Which proves that it puts you in that mind frame, so that's what the movie's supposed to do. Like any, you know...
Exactly.
Other than Michael Bay movies.
Yeah, and then the problem with The Underworld is that it kept just reverting to, and don't forget she's got leather on, and don't forget she's hot, you know.
Definitely.
And it, and we couldn't really engage with the whatever... you know, mindless story was taking place.
Yeah, it's a fine line, because I think back to Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, and she had the same thing going, but there was just something completely different about the character that was powerful and interesting.
She was three-dimensional.
Yes.
You know, she was, first of all, she was three different characters,
mm-hmm.
and... She was, you know, 90% of the time, she also, Michelle Pfeiffer didn't really have to work her sexuality, because she kind of was sexual, so she didn't have to push it too far, so then, you know, anything else that she said or did was kind of on top of the fact, and it's Michelle Pfeiffer in a leather outfit, you know, so that just kind of works right there, and she's acting, and on top of that, she's talking, and totally outshining Michael Keaton, who was kind of useless in that movie. I liked him in the first one, but the second one...
Which you think is a complete reversal when Halle Berry...
Oh, my God.
But she is a sexual woman.
No, she was pushing it,
but
though.
They really overdid it.
Yeah.
And she was not well-defined. She was not anything at all.
You have to do that, you know? There's nothing wrong with, you know, sex kittens, but they gotta, you know, there has to be a reason you're watching them.
Right.
Because even a guy will get tired of looking at a hot chick for 2.5 hours in a, you know... in a dark room, you know. Yeah, I was wondering if I was going to finish that thought, but
I was waiting for one slip up
with 100 other people is what I'm saying.
That doesn't make it any better.
No, no. Look, that's all I got. But I think it's interesting because this is the first time I've thought about it that you've mentioned it. I think it's interesting that the idea is it's going backwards.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my take on it.
Can you give us, besides Underworld, an example of how you think that things are reverting, like something recent that you've seen?
Well, I think, the Transformers isn't as recent, but I think that's, a great example. Like, Megan Fox's character was so completely vapid, and she was gorgeous, but that is why Megan Fox is Megan Fox. It's because she was in that role, and guys were like, oh, she's pretty. I'm going to Google her when I get home. And that's how she became.
Is that what they call it now?
And, you know, she was fired and so easily replaced by this woman who had never spoken lines before in her life, but had that same appeal. And that to me was kind of like insult to injury. Yeah, like looking at sci-fi from a female point of view, it's like, this character was so pointless. You could replace her with someone whose job it is to not speak and show her boobs. That's what this is.
Wow, that's like half of the jobs I've lost have been replaced with someone who couldn't speak and couldn't do the job, but got the job better than me.
Oh, let me think. I don't know. There's this whole slew of shows now that are kind of supernatural and based. Like, there's one that's on the CW now. Like, there's Vampire Diaries and something about witchcraft. And
The Secret Circle?
Yeah. I feel like they're trying to reach for that time again when, Xena and Buffy and Charmed was on. But they're just not getting it because everyone kind of looks like jailbait and, it's kind of based off of the Twilight Foundation, which is an homage to abusive relationships and crappy monsters.
Written by a woman. That's the problem. Got women putting out this kind of crap now.
Because I feel
exploiting themselves.
Yeah, it's what we look at, and so it's what we've seen and interpreted as powerful somehow. And so now we're putting that back out and labeling it as, powerful because this really super hot chick has a weapon.
Right, and it's not really.
But it's not really anything of depth or meaning,
So how does your script decide to change all that, or are you just buying into
it? She smokes weed.
Well, yeah, she's not a feminine character, really. She's not really an anything character. She's just kind of this very anxious individual who hasn't formed herself as female in any way, and her mother puts pressure on her to diet and date, and she's just kind of I feel like I want to create someone who could be a guy or a girl, you know. She just happens to be a girl,
just
kind of
an everyday person.
Normal person. Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with sexualizing a female character because you can argue that that's part of female empowerment, is you can use your sexuality to have a voice and a place in society. But I feel like that shouldn't be the focus. That should just be an added benefit of it.
So if you think we're reverting, I guess, the role of the woman, what do you think is going to end, or what do you think is going to go from there?
That's a tough question, because I feel like part of the reason it happened is because of the internet, and you can get porn anywhere, anytime, and you're bombarded with these images all the time that are more and more risque, so you're kind of desensitized in the theater or on TV, so you keep sending more and more images that are more and more risque to grab people's attention, and sexuality is great for that. But I think the internet's also a good vehicle for combating that, because I've seen several sites now, even modeling sites, that are saying, you know, we're sick of this horrible portrayal. And there's a documentary that I saw called Misrepresentation that was made by an actress who you know, she went into acting to get all these meaty roles, and she got there and was like, okay,
I'm
going to play the nurse
else.
Again.
Watch that car. That's yeah. what's going to take, I think, is for women to really just be done with it, you know,
yeah,
and be
you,
sick of it.
But I think, well, it's a good thing that you're saying that, okay, even I'm getting sick of this, because once you get enough people, especially even males, because males make up, I think I read somewhere, females only make up 16% of, like, all behind-the-scenes production of movies uh-huh. and TV. So I think that males have to get sick of it, too, because they are prominent right now. But, yeah, everybody just kind of has to be like, all right, show me something.
Well, there's not a lot of thinking going on behind the scenes of that stuff anyway.
Yeah,
so of course. once we tell them what we
want
to see.
What we want,
yeah.
Yes.
They'll just jump on the bandwagon because that's the way to make, that's the road to make money.
You have to convince these people with the money that something else will sell better than
exactly.
what they're giving us. Yeah.
So what advice can you give out to young girls who want to be actress, model, writer, singer?
Oh boy, I guess
just sum that up in a couple of words, right?
Yeah, and you got a minute for that.
Yeah.
No,
join
the military.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't watch reality TV.
Oh my god.
Stay away
that.
From
yes.
the reality TV.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I think you just have to try and really look at older roles and movies and see what characters interest you, whether they're male or female. And, you know, just because a character isn't female doesn't mean you can't look up to them and draw from them and look for those kinds of roles. And I'd say if you don't see roles out there that appeal to you, start writing your own. I think that people do need to get involved with that. I've met a lot of models who have recently become photographers because they feel like they have their own ideas, and that's what needs to happen with all of media, I feel.
So we got 2 minutes left. Is there any other websites or places you want to promote? Now is the time.
You can look at my Tumblr, which is catropo.tumblr.com. That's CATROPO. And yeah, Vixens of Virtue, vixensofvice.com. We're selling our stuff on Amazon, and third season's coming up.
And yeah. What was that, the photography side again? That with the stormtroopers?
Right. LookingGlassGirls.com. Looking Glass Girls is in Alice in Wonderland. Right. Yes.
Well, I appreciate you, Caitlin, for coming down. And we're going to do
Thank
some final
you.
Thoughts. Hassan, you want a final thought?
I hope it's not my final thoughts.
that's
what it's going to be.
Charlie, final thought?
No, just thank you, Caitlin, for coming down, and I hope it's one of many visits we have from home.
Yes, me too.
Caitlin, final thought?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me to come down. I've had a good time, and hope to be back.
Yes, if Charlie has anything to say with us, she'll be back every week, right?
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts?
Actually, I really appreciate you for coming down. You were a very good guest, and
thank you.
Gave us great insight on the female mind, which is something
great.
That we all need as guys.
Oh, yeah.
So that does it on this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGB at 9 o'clock on Wednesdays. Miss any part of the show, you can go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com, and the archives will be up in a week or so. Always join our Facebook page and our Twitter, and we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.